Hey, thanks for downloading the podcast. And remember, if you want to listen live, download the iHeartRadio app, download the TuneIn app, and just search for Fantasy Sports Radio Network, and you can listen to this program live. Also, if you want to watch the video of this podcast, check us out on YouTube, on Twitch, or on Periscope, and type in, you guessed it, Fantasy Sports Network. You'll find us there. Enjoy the show, and thanks for listening.
Ladies and gentlemen, I need all of you to stop what you're doing and listen.
It's In This League.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Come again?
With Scott Bogman and Chris Wells.
Can't wait.
What does that do? Did that blow your mind?
That just happened.
What's up, guys? Welcome in This League right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. It's Chris Welsh. It's Scott Bogman on what is maybe the most eventful week that I can freaking recall. I cannot believe the things that are going on. We had Avengers Endgame, the NFL Draft, and we're going to be topped off by Game of Thrones and the first huge episode that's going to go down. And LeSean McCoy is going to spoil every ounce of it, Bogman.
I had to go onto Twitter and go through and eliminate words like Avengers and McCoy and
Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah, Baltimore Ravens. Right.
Okay.
Oklahoma Sooners. Yes.
I like it. Yeah. No, diet, that would be smart.
Right. Vegan. Yes. Yeah.
Healthy. Right.
Healthy. Right. Cholesterol. Uh-huh.
Okay.
Stroke.
Okay. All those things. Yeah. Just avoiding all of them. There's a lot to talk about. Thank you guys for tuning in, by the way, to End This League. 3 hours right here on FNTSY. We have got no spoilers and very little. We'll talk about Endgame because Bogman hasn't seen it and I have.
Haven't seen it yet.
Nope. So. But we're going to talk about the NFL draft a whole bunch. And we're going to talk about, big debuts. Huge debuts in baseball that went down on Friday with the biggest prospect in baseball, Vladimir Guerrero Jr. And one of the other really big ones, top prospect for the Nationals, Carter Kieboom. It's just like freaking prospect season. And
it is
not only just prospect season for baseball as we talk about it, but I mean, this is what we are inundated with the NFL draft. And I'm telling you, the NFL draft's great. I didn't get to see any of the first round. And I've been talking about this for a little bit because there's not many things that would supplant.
The Avengers was longer than the first round of the NFL draft, I think, right? Oh, that's right, because it started. Yeah, yeah, okay.
Yeah, I'm dumb. What you're saying, in theory, because we thought it was starting at 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, but it started at 5, the draft did, and then it ended at 9, so it was 4 hours. Avengers, I was in the theater for about 3 hours and 20 minutes, I think.
Jeez.
Yeah, with previews and stuff like that. Like, they really need to. Do they account for previews when they do runtime?
I don't think they do. That's just the movie runtime. Because each theater has different. Like, I think if you go to the Alamo Drafthouse, they only do like one preview. So
I'm sick of it. I couldn't be more sick of the previews. They're the worst thing.
Probably 30 minutes of previews for real. Like,
well, they're the second worst thing. The second worst thing. The worst thing in all the land is LeSean McCoy. So NFL draft is great. And so that's what I was getting at. I didn't get to see it. I saw the first four picks and I was in like a dinner theater and whatnot. And I got to see my 49ers take Nick Bosa. That was fantastic. And then I went in cause not many things would, supplant, me watching the NFL draft except for Avengers Endgame. Cause I'm a Marvel nerd. Yes. Nerd. A Marvel stan, as you would, Bogman. Nerd. Yeah, right. Totally. That's me. And this was the most important thing to see because I didn't want this spoiled for me. I didn't want a minute or one single thing from this movie spoiled for me. And there are horrible people that are out there. So sometimes Bogman, we have to sacrifice things. I sacrificed the NFL draft. It was a blood offering to the many Marvel gods. That's what I did. And I sacrificed the mini comics god to make sure that I could see this movie. And when I got out, I fully expected, people be talking about Avengers and people be talking about the draft. There's one huge surprise that happened in the NFL draft that everyone was talking about. And I was like, okay, now it's going to happen, Thursday night. There'll be a little bit talk about it. But boy, Friday morning is going to be all about what the Giants did, all about Endgame, and guess what? It wasn't. It is all and was all about that piece of garbage, LeSean McCoy, because LeSean McCoy straight up spoiled the Avengers. Straight up spoiled the Avengers.
This is what I saw. I saw you tweet something that said, LeSean McCoy, the internet to LeSean McCoy right now, bring me his head. I almost went to LeSean McCoy's Twitter at that point. So you almost ruined it for me, just so you know.
Well, I did put under my tweet, I put, do not go to his Twitter.
You put that under your tweet?
Yeah, under my tweet. I didn't at LeSean McCoy. I purposely did that so people wouldn't click on it and go to his account. And under my tweet, I said, by the way, do not go there because he is ruining the Avengers.
Okay, so I mean, I didn't see that, obviously. So I just saw your first one. And so I typed in LeSean McCoy, and the first thing said, LeSean McCoy ruins the Avengers for everyone who didn't see it day one. What a, you know, POS or words. Whatever it said.
Words.
Words. And so I was like, okay, looks like I need to go and do the bit, like you said, where I go and eliminate words from my Twitter. So, which is kind of sad that you can do that, but also good in this situation. So.
It's very, very good in this situation. So I'm not going to obviously say the tweets, by the way, because I'm not going to be LeSean McCoy. I'm not.
Do that next week.
Absolutely.
Right? You better see it by next week.
Gumbag. Yo, because we're going to be doing an ITL breakdown episode of Endgame. So more reason to go and join up with our Patreon if you're not there. Because we'll probably be doing at least an hour podcast breaking down Endgame. But like I saw it early. I saw somebody tweeting about LeSean McCoy. And I was like, what is this all about? And it was from Barstool. And they're like, is LeSean McCoy the biggest piece of trash in all of football for ruining Endgame for everyone? And I go, oh, my gosh. So I go and look. And I'm like, it can't be that bad. Right? It can't be that bad. The first tweet, which he put out, I guess it was like around 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time on Friday. You know, so I mean, this is like a little over 12 hours after the movie had even been released. He drops a tweet that straight up spoils probably in movies like this, there's always like
tons
surprise
of stuff
things.
Happens. I understand.
Two
right.
important things. Straight up drops it, and dude has 1,400 comments on it right now. And then he doubles down and he drops one more tweet just to make sure if someone didn't
it's
see.
It's ruined for everyone.
To
right.
make sure he picked one thing to ruin and he ruined that thing. And he ruined it again. Ruined it again.
Ruined.
The comments under here, Bogman. Here's some comments that are pretty great. This is under the second one. The second comment is, tear your ACL next year, please.
Oh, God.
Let's see. There was a couple other. Let's see. Oh, I can't say that. A lot of memes of you should delete this tweet. Let's see. Shady, I can't believe you. This is real betrayal. Someone says, dude, stop it. Someone says, here's a spoiler. You'll never win a Super Bowl.
Oh.
And I mean, it's pretty brutal. There's a lot of stuff I can't say.
The biggest jerk move ever. I tell you what, Juju, he apparently forgot to get his tickets or something. So it was – no, you know what? I think it was Shazier. So Shazier forgot to get his tickets, and he tweeted out, hey, look, I'm looking for four tickets to Avengers at this time at this movie theater. I will trade you – box seats for a Steelers game. I am dead ass serious.
That is awesome.
I would have given up my seats so fast.
So fast. I would have done that. On his original tweet, someone said, nice move. You're traded to Arizona. And there's just like, there's so many words I can't say that people are putting on here. Someone says, I hope the Bills release you. A lot of people want his ACL to be torn out, and a campaign of people bogs that want LeSean McCoy suspended from the NFL for what he did to Avengers Endgame.
It's kind of sad. I feel like more people are pissed off at LeSean McCoy than are at Tyreek Hill right
don't
now.
Don't do it, Bogman.
I'm just saying. Someone asked if he's the biggest POS in the NFL for spoiling a movie. No, I think Tyreek Hill is.
Agree. So, Tyreek, you know, yeah, we'll talk about that.
As long as Tyreek Hill is still getting money from the NFL, then he's the biggest POS.
Well, actually, maybe we just talk about it here for a minute because, like, I'll be honest with you. You know, the Tyreek Hill stuff has just been bad. We talked about it like with the Frank Clark stuff, you know, where it was like, man, the Chiefs do not have a good look right now. Where, yes, they got off of Kareem Hunt and whatever, but like trading for Frank Clark and the Tyreek Hill stuff is looming. And then draft day, there's always something on draft day, by the way. Always something is dropped attention is put on the NFL. This time, it wasn't someone putting on a gas mask and getting high. What it was news about Tyreek Hill that there was an audio recording that his wife or his wife or girlfriend or whatever had between them had given to a friend as an insurance policy. And then it was released and it is some horrific garbage on there. Here's the bottom line. Here's the best way to put it. It's not fun and games with LeSean McCoy here. I think LeSean McCoy is garbage. But, like, don't put it in the same realm as anybody. He's an a-hole. Yeah. Tyreek Hill is scum of the earth.
Garbage person.
I've used other words in my tweets about Tyreek Hill yesterday. He is scum of the earth, the stuff. I think it's a three-year-old kid that had his arm broken. And the stuff that Tyreek Hill was saying in there, threatening the girlfriend, talking about the things that he would do. He's a garbage scumbag. And there is no chance he's back in the NFL, Bogman.
No, this is Ray Rice.
Perfect. You know, this is Ray Rice. He is done.
Yeah, he's done. He's cooked.
No redemption story for this. There's no redemption story.
No, there's not. There's not. And Tyreek Hill had stuff going into the draft. You know, he fell in the draft because of something he did, during college, which was beat up his pregnant girlfriend. You know, I don't know that he beat her up. I know that he hit her while she was pregnant. So he had this stuff in his past. You know, it was at the beginning of his college career. So, you know, he had gone three more years without having an incident. And he had been fairly far along in his NFL career before something like this crept up again. But you can tell that it never stopped. This isn't something that stopped. It was just something that wasn't reported, especially because specifically in the video, his girlfriend says, and I rode for you against that district attorney and against those investigators and blah, 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 which means she was covering up stuff for him for a while.
Well, and she, and it's because this was audio. I don't think it was a video, but
no, it was audio. Right.
Yeah. And she, I mean, she laid it out like she knew what she was doing too. She set him up with some stuff in the right way. She was like, I mean, I don't want to get into it because like, you know, any human, I don't want to do the, like, as a dad, it's this, because any human being is going to be grossed out by this stuff. But still hearing someone have no remorse for a child and whatnot, it's gross and it's disgusting. And Tyreek Hill is done. If he's not done, it's going to be bad.
Yeah, I can't imagine that he gets to play in the NFL.
This is Adrian Peterson stuff. And honestly, let's not minimize Adrian Peterson stuff. Like, this isn't that. Tyreek Hill is a garbage person. And even so, like, this is other stuff that bothers me. I think the Chiefs have a much bigger problem. It's a bad stain on them. The press conference on Friday, I think this is before the second, third round. Andy Reid began the press conference and stuck with a statement they issued on Tyreek Hill saying, "Today is Frank's day." We aren't going to talk about the current domestic abuse person. We're going to talk about the guy that's cleared of it for a couple years that we just traded for and gave $100 million for. It's a bad look for the Chiefs.
It really is, you know, and it really is. It's, I mean, I don't even know what to say.
There's
about
nothing
Tyreek
to say.
I mean, like, he's done. He's gone. And I don't know how this would have changed, like, this audio stuff coming out. The district attorney,
well, they
said,
reopened the criminal case on it.
Exactly. There was, he had said before, you know, we know there's a crime here, but we can't prove anything, so we're not going to press charges. And they have since reopened since this, you know, audio came out. I'm just glad that the audio came to light so we can get this kid out of that situation. He's 3 years old. There's no excuse for him to be treated like this. And I'm just glad that we, you know, he got some resolution here. And they're both going to go to jail because she covered up for Hill. And Hill did all this stuff. He's going to go to jail for a long time.
Yeah, and see, the only way that she might get off is he makes a statement.
She'll flip.
But if she's already flipped, here would be the thing, is where she says she covered because she was scared for her life, and there's a statement in the audio where he says, you should be scared of me too. Like, he says that to her and uses some other words in there. Like, that statement could be used where maybe, you know, it's not as bad, but it's horrible. The whole situation is horrible. He's garbage. And it's kind of unfortunate too, because you stepped into a situation where it's like, you know, it's like, all right, the Chiefs can draft a wide receiver, you know, Sammy Watkins, wide receiver one. And it's like,
that's what I was getting to, is I don't know how the Chiefs' thoughts on this draft and the trade they just made for Frank Clark, how that would have changed if they knew that this stuff was happening. Plus, you know, this is the worst look for the NFL. You had 200,000 people come out for the NFL draft day one, 200,000 people. And you have 32 young men who had their lives changed by, you know, getting their dream job here. And it all takes a backseat, because this is what we just did. The Welsh, we just talked about Tyreek Hill over talking about the draft in this first segment, because that news is so impactful. So
it is.
It's terrible, and it's a bad look for the NFL. I got to get guys like this.
I look for the Chiefs. You know, who's a Chiefs fan? I don't know. There's a LeSean McCoy to the Chiefs thing that I want to happen here, but I don't even know where to go with all of these guys. A wasteland. It's a wasteland of hopefully they make a change. Bengals used to kind of do this. The Chiefs are now doing it, and it's a gross situation. Here's the deal. Bye-bye, Tyreek Hill. Goodbye. Bye-bye.
I saw a lot of people, I saw a lot of people on Twitter like, should I trade Tyreek Hill for like a third round pick? Get whatever you can.
Get out of it. All right, we got to go to break. We'll be covering all of the first round. We got to talk about some of the other craziness that went down. We're not going to spoil Endgame like LeSean McCoy. So we'll be back.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99, or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
I swear to God, I'll pistol whip the next guy that says
in this league.
Hey, Farva, what's the name of that restaurant you like with all the mozzarella sticks?
In this league.
All right, welcome back. It is In This League right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. That's Bogman. I'm Welsh. You can find us over at InThisLeague.com. Or more importantly, you can go check us out over on Patreon. Very busy week where we had the episode 2 of Game of Thrones review. We had the live streams with Bogman, the pizza party live streams on the draft. What pizza did you have, Bogman?
I got Barrow's pizza. So, and we also discussed what is the best frozen pizza. I landed on Red Baron. If we're factoring in price, because Red Baron is
Safeway
so
Select
cheap. I've never had a Safeway Select.
It's not bad.
I couldn't tell you if they're good or bad. You're saying not bad?
It's not bad. Yeah.
Okay.
What was the consensus on the value pizza?
They like a lot of them like DiGiorno's. There was the screaming Italian one? I know I've seen that like in the aisle, but I've never had that one.
I don't think that's either a value one though. That's like, it's still like $8 or $9, I think, isn't it?
Is it? I don't know. So we were kind of going through that and then talking about, New York versus Chicago style pizza. This was all, in the 25 minutes before the draft started, of course, the most annoying 15 minutes. And not having Mayock wasn't as bad as I thought, the Welsh, but the live band at in Nashville kind of, I know Rich Eisen was so pissed. I don't know if it was hurting his ears or whatever it was. There's a band set up in the stand behind, up on the stage. There's a band and they play music whenever each.
They treat it like it's like late night with Jimmy Fallon. Serious. Like, here's our late night band.
No, they play songs in between picks. So, here's, you know, you
Jimmy Pavino.
And then they play whatever song. I don't know if the players pick them or whatever, but they play a song whenever a guy comes out. And
entrance music?
Yeah, kind of. Right.
Someone should have had Stone Cold. How have they done that?
It's just because Nashville is such a musical city.
You know, I mean, you're kind of a little bit more of our football guide at ITL, and I was just too locked into the Avengers. I hadn't given a whole lot of thought or paid attention. I mean, I knew it was in Nashville, but I didn't give any attention to what was going on with the NFL draft. And then when I started seeing, like, you know, a bunch of people we know in the industry somewhere out there, and people are tweeting out pictures, and I was just like, a lot of people are taking pictures like outside where they're eating. I'm like, what is the deal with this? And then a couple hours before, I realized, I'm like, oh, like, they've set up a stage outdoors.
Like, it's in the middle of downtown Nashville.
The middle of downtown. They set up like their own Coachella, and they were like, they did drone shots. The amount of damn people that showed up for an NFL draft, it's almost embarrassing. Like, what did nobody have anything to do?
200,000 people.
Did nobody have anything to do? Why would you show up? I wouldn't show up. We have a guy in the ITL Army, Ryan Cornell, who, when they had the draft in Atlanta, like, he went, and it was just in a stadium, and he got it. He got on television wearing
on ESPN.
Yeah, Falcon jersey and stuff like that. Like, it's contained chaos. That open chaos where it looks like it's like, you know, Times Square on New Year's Eve gives me so much anxiety. There must have been nonsense going on left and right.
Well, dude, I'm looking, and they started this outdoor bit last year in Philly, and someone was like, here's the biggest upset of every single draft pick was that there were zero arrests in Philly during the draft. And I was like, bull S. No way was there zero arrests. They're just not reporting them or something. Well, but I'm looking at this giant crowd before the whole draft starts, and you're right, they did the drone shot where they show everyone, and I'm like, well, where are the porta potties? And there's just none.
There's none, and nobody could walk. Nobody could do anything.
You could barely move.
I will tell you this, though. I will tell you this, because I thought that was a weird play by the NFL to do it in a downtown area. Kudos to them for making it a concert atmosphere. They did that. A lot of attention around it. And it created new factors that I don't think anyone was prepared for. Like, my favorite story that came out of the NFL draft was the bachelor party that was ruined.
Bachelorette party
that was ruined. And these women, listen, okay, this is the television report from Fox 17 in Nashville, right here. Just take a listen to this thing.
The person that's going to pay for this is my husband when I refuse to watch football the entire season. Like, no Super Bowl.
No.
Because you get married once.
Yep.
How often does the draft happen?
Every freaking year.
Every year.
Putting a little damper on these ladies' one last fling before the ring.
Like, the worst.
Yeah.
Like, I gotta be honest with you. These might be the two worst women in all of America. The bride looks three shades of, like, don't mess with her, if you know where I'm getting at. Like, I would not want to have been the person that had to be on the receiving call of that disappointment. Those two women, tons of fun. Their husbands don't get to watch football anymore. Done. Cucked.
Okay.
Cucked by the NFL draft they got.
No. Well, by the way, how stupid are they? Like, this has been scheduled forever. Like, you can just look and see that it's going to happen way ahead of time. Or you could have called any of those restaurants and said, hey, we're planning on having a bachelorette party on this day and this day. Do you have any tables for us or what can you do? And he's like, well, we can't do anything. That's the NFL draft day. Or you could have looked at any type of schedule anywhere and known that this was going to happen. I know Nashville is a huge bachelorette party destination or whatever. And it's a fun city to go to, but
it is like,
you know, chose to do this the one time there's a huge event going on there.
Well, I saw some people writing that like, was the bachelor party also here and the husband set this up and they knew it and set these women, because if not, these women did no research whatsoever. There's a picture.
This is just the worst. It's the worst.
The bride here, the look on her face is bat-ass crazy. It's WHNT. The tweet of their article is upset brides. The city isn't just known for country music. It's also a hot bachelorette party destination. And the focus on football is putting a damper on pre-wedding festivities. And the picture they have of the bride, the look on her face, all you can do is want to start a GoFundMe for her husband. That's all you want to do. Get out of there. You are not safe.
I think someone did that. Didn't someone start a GoFundMe for the, for the husband?
I didn't see that. I actually saw
it. I could have swore I saw
I saw
that.
A mock GoFundMe, but I'm not going to talk about what it was for. it wasn't appropriate what someone
was
had said.
Was it for a divorce?
Nope, it was for something completely different. I'll tell you about it off air. But Stranger danger. Feel horrible for that guy. And those women stole the party. They were bigger than the NFL draft. Almost bigger than the screw up that the Giants had. That's about it.
Well, the Giants fans were pissed. I mean, that's for sure. But the first overall pick, the Welsh, Kyler Murray, goes to the Cardinals. Let me ask you your surprise 1 to 10 on them actually going Kyler Murray, because leading up to the draft, we heard some stuff from them about how we didn't have it sewn up and blah, 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 blah. So were you even surprised that they wound up taking Kyler Murray?
Or was this 1 out of 10. I got to see the first 4 picks sitting in the bar lobby of the movie theater, and the sound wasn't on. So as I watched Goodell up, I was just lip reading, and I was like, Kyler Murray. I was like seeing, what does it have to look like on my mouth? And I saw him go, Kyler Murray. And I was like, yep, there you go. Wasn't surprised at all. Little to no surprise that they did it. I mean, there was a lot of late minute type of stuff, some, subterfuge and whatnot, trying to throw us off. Maybe they were trying to see if they were going to get a Godfather offer or whatnot. But, with all things that ended up happening, it seems like it was set in stone. I mean, the trade, because we got to talk about the Rosen trade as well. The Rosen trade probably came together post first round once, the Miami Dolphins identified themselves as not being able to get a quarterback, or, maybe they had their sights set on Daniel Jones, and obviously that was kind of, supplanted there. But you kind of have to look at it and this was the obvious choice the whole time. Maybe they considered some of these other guys, but I 1000% expected Kyler Murray to be an Arizona Cardinal. And we'll see, man. We'll see. Did you see the story, by the way? I was talking to some Cardinal fans out here about Kyler Murray, and people are not a big fan. And here's what I'm almost getting enjoyment out of: being able to tell them more things to not like him about. There was an event there, because everyone gets excited about their guy and everything that. But there was an event.
Unless they're Giants fans.
Yeah, yeah. But there was a, what was it, 23? Was it 23 draft prospects that were invited? 22?
Yeah, something like that. Right, right.
All the draft prospects were invited to do a charity handout the day before the draft. And every single draft prospect was there but one. The number one overall pick, Kyler Murray. And as reported, when asked why he wasn't there, a reporter, an Arizona Cardinals reporter, I believe it was, they were told he's got other stuff to do. And then there was clamor about them trying to, make it not a big deal. Be like, oh, well, it was a voluntary thing, and he wasn't going to be in town in time. Yet every other single draft prospect was there to hand out stuff for charity to children, except for Kyler Murray. So stand up guy.
Well, let's hope that he makes up for that.
I hope not.
You know, There's Phoenix Children's Hospital out here. You know, there's all kinds
he's
of,
busy,
of charitable events.
He's busy.
He's busy.
He's super busy. He's a super busy guy. Number one overall pick. Doesn't have time for the little people or to help anybody. Right?
Well, when, you know, you're busy being the number one overall pick in football and what was he, the number four overall pick in baseball or whatever he was. Ninth overall pick, top 10. You know, you got a busy schedule. You got to be good at baseball and football. But I don't know. That kind of stuff, that
it's going to mean nothing to anybody. Me, it's going to mean little to so many people. But I just like it because it's like little jabs you get to have. Because
it's Kyler, something else because you're a Niners fan. And then and the Niners got, you know, one of the two best consensus players in this draft. Just by sitting at two, and a lot of people have him number one. Obviously, the Niners had him number one on their board in Nick Bosa. So,
yeah, I was reading, normally, I was listening to the press conference, by the way, sorry to interrupt you, but I was listening to both press conferences of John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan and then to Nick Bosa's. And it was interesting because John Lynch revealed that their board was Bosa and Quinnen with the same grade at the very top, but Bosa got the push for need. So that's why they went with Bosa.
Okay. I like that because Quinnen is my favorite player, or my number one ranked player in this draft. I think he's going to be really, really good. He wound up going number three to the Jets, but I think Bosa's great too. My only hesitation with Bosa is that he's had injury stuff and his brother's had injury stuff. I don't know if this is something that is going to plague his NFL career or not. I hope not because he's a really good player, but you, the Welsh, are all about the offense and keeping the legacy of Joe Montana and Jerry Rice and Roger Craig and everyone in San Francisco for their big run of Super Bowls. And you are normally wanting to take an offensive player, but I feel like this is a time where, you know, the Niners take a defensive player and you're actually very happy about it. Is this true or false?
I was stoked. I was stoked. So, you know, after Bosa or after Murray went, you know, I'm in the movie theater thing. I'm waiting. And by the time the pick was actually in, the Niners only had like 5 minutes left when they got back to the clock. And when they announced Bosa, I arms up and cheer. I'm absolutely excited about it because, you know, he's a linchpin. And the Niners have already talked about what they're going to do. And Shanahan and Lynch, Lynch insinuated about it during the press conference, and then they essentially all but said it, that Solomon Thomas first is not going to be traded, and he's going to be part of a three-man rotation in the middle with Buckner and Armstead. Those three are going to rush from the middle, essentially the defensive tackles, and Bosa and Ford are the ends. And he said that's what they said. They said I think it was Shanahan said that Armstead and Solomon both rush better from the inside, so this is the best fit for them. So everything about this worked out for me, and I was ecstatic. Except, though, I will tell you, you know, you want to talk about negativity and how much negativity is just following around everything right now, and even I guess I'm perpetuating it, talking about how excited I was that Kyler Murray did something garbagey, is the second question that Bosa was asked in his interview was about his tweets. Was about the tweets that he deleted, and he liked some. I think there was like a racially insensitive tweet from 16.
Oh, I didn't know that one. The only one I knew was he called Colin Kaepernick a clown. So,
and that might have been the one.
And he apologized. Yeah, he apologized.
Well, he had some Trump tweets. Can't tweet about Trump, Bogman.
No, thank you.
You want to go there?
No, I'm going to spit that hook right there.
You want to talk about Tyreek Hill? You don't want to talk about Trump tweets? Let's just make this a really interesting first hour.
Nope. Nope. I mean, you know, you can talk about Tyreek Hill as long as it's all negative, but you can't say anything one way or the other about Trump.
Okay, so let's do this real quick because I want to set up the next segment with the surprise, with the shock of the draft. Though, so Quinnen Williams goes three, and you got to love that guy. His smile with the big braces, and I mean, you know, everything you got to like about him. Plus, a really interesting story. His agent, he has a female agent. I'm forgetting the agency now. But this was like her first big client, and there was this big, like, I saw it on Twitter of like her and Quinnen like crying at the same time as he was drafted three, because this was like her moment to break through. And then I called you and interrupted the live stream on Patreon when the Raiders took, I don't know who that is. They took Colin Farrell.
Clelin Ferrell. It's a weird pronunciation on his name, and no one can figure it out.
From Into the Broges or whatever.
Right. I mean, the Raiders could have moved down. I like the player. I don't necessarily like where they got him. So
a lot of reporters were pissed, by the way. The Raiders reporters, they were like, because Mayock said, you know, they got their info, and that's why they released everybody, because they knew what they wanted to do, and they didn't want them there. And it was like the reporters were saying, why wouldn't you have just traded up?
Lindsay Rhodes made a great point. She said, look, if we had Mayock on the show, he would have been talking up Farrell, and he probably would have gone, this would have been more accepted. But because he's a GM and not talking up a guy, you know, everyone was pissed. So.
Yeah, there's some truth to that. So that one had me, I mean, I literally called in to say, what the hell is this? But I then walk into Endgame and miss probably the biggest, most explosive moment. And that's what we're going to talk about when we come right back. So don't go anywhere. It's more In This League coming up. That's Bogman. I'm Welsh. Don't go anywhere. NFL draft this hour and next hour. Plus, we'll talk about all the prospects coming up in baseball. So don't go anywhere. In This League will be back.
From the NFL to the NBA, DailyRoto.com is the place to win millions in daily fantasy. You can get the best DFS NFL coverage all season long for a price of $129.99 or dominate the entire daily fantasy sports realm with the Elite Package at $59.99 per month. If you use the promo code FNTSY, you get 10% off your DailyRoto package. Go to DailyRoto.com, pick your NFL or Elite Package, enter promo code FNTSY, and you'll be on your way to becoming the next Daily Roto millionaire.
In This League.
Why didn't you just go home? That's your home. Are you too good for...
In This League.
Answer me! Suck my white ass!
Scott Bogman and Chris Welsh.
It's In This League Live. We are back. That is Scott Bogman. Find him on Twitter at Bogman Sports. I'm Chris Welsh. You can find me at Is It The Welsh. And also, not the Chris Welsh that is a complete... idiot and is offensive and tells people that Ozzy Albies doesn't know the difference between $35 million and $85 million. Yes, I got lots of tweets about it. Because
did you really?
Yeah, because it had to be the damn former pitcher Chris Welsh with the Reds go off and be an idiot on camera. We've had jokes about it before. Remember this podcast writer wrote a review about our podcast and said that I was the former Reds pitcher and I had to correct her. And there was a whole thing about it. And then, of course, I had people tweeting me. But nobody tweeted me like they thought it was actually me. People just wanted me to know that Chris Welsh was out there saying idiotic things. And I saw it. So it's not the same Chris Welsh. But this Chris Welsh and Scott Bogman are going to have a full draft recap episode for you coming up this week. So make sure you're locked into the Fantasy Football Podcast, the In This League Fantasy Football Podcast on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts. And we'll be going through the full draft and we'll be talking about the fantasy prospects, the offensive fantasy prospects. So it's not going to be like a big draft recap where we're going to be talking, like we're kind of doing some of it here. We're going to do a little bit of it on the Black Book. Not going through like all the defensive and offensive line picks. We'll probably be heavily focusing on what happened through all the seven rounds, what offensive players shined and stuff like that. So make sure you get the full recap episode over at In This League. Don't miss any of it. And then plus, like, we've also got so much extra content coming up in the next week between a secret show, in-game episode breakdown, and a Game of Thrones episode 3 breakdown. So... holy crap.
All kinds of stuff for you.
Holy crap. So when I get out of Endgame, the first thing I do is also just, I'm so excited. Well, actually, first thing I do is I went and took a piss. That is the first thing I meet. I ran out of there. You know what was so great is this is a helpful hint I'm going to give to everybody. There is no after credit scene. There's nothing.
Oh, okay.
And people don't know that. They do some like little homage thing at the end, but nobody got up. And this is a packed dinner theater. Nobody got up. Everyone went to their phones and everyone starts looking. And I see and I'm like, there's not a thing. And everyone's still sitting there and everyone's looking and seeing the same thing I'm seeing. So our buddy Jag that was he went with me. I went, let's go. And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, all right. So we get up and no one's leaving. And I'm like, I'm going to get to the bathroom before anybody. This is amazing. And guess what? Right into the bathroom. And, you know,
that's funny.
12 minutes later when I got out of the bathroom, I was good to go because I held it all.
Did you have to, did you fill up the urinal so much you had to flush midstream?
No, but.
So that it wouldn't overflow?
No, but I did have one of those where you weren't prepared for how long you were going to pee. It was one of those. Like you start
laughing in the middle of it.
Yeah, you were just going and you're just like, this is way longer. It's like end game. Like this is way longer than I had anticipated this was gonna happen. So that's the first thing I did. The second thing I did was I opened up the interwebs to recap myself because I was gonna call Bogman and attempt to spoil Endgame for him. But I wanted to also know what happened in the draft. And I saw people talking trade and I was like, oh, what's going on? So I went to see what was happening and I'm scanning through and I see some interesting stuff. But the New York Football Giants at 6 stand out like a beautiful, sexy sore thumb for all the things for me to get super excited about because they took a quarterback, but they didn't take the quarterback that anybody expected. They took Daniel Jones, not Dwayne Haskins. And somebody put out an amazing tweet, Bogman, that said the entire summer, everyone has been talking about New York tanking for the number one overall pick from Duke. The Giants didn't get the memo that it's not Zion, not Daniel Jones. It was so damn good. But people were losing. So let me ask you first. What was your reaction when Daniel Jones went? Well, because you love Daniel Jones.
Daniel Jones is my number two quarterback in this draft behind Kyler Murray. And I like him more than I like Dwayne Haskins. So I didn't hate this at all. And, you know, there was some really good points made. I can't remember who said this, but someone pointed out that, yeah, I think it was Daniel Jeremiah pointed out that Kyler Murray had more NFL teammates on his high school team than Daniel Jones did on his college team at Duke. So he hasn't been surrounded by the best weapons at Duke for his entire career. And he was trained up by the same guys that trained up Peyton and Eli, Daniel Cutcliffe. So when you watch him out there, I'm not as high as Gil Brandt is on him. Gil Brandt says that he is the next Peyton Manning.
Just because it kind of looks like. Someone said Daniel Jones looks like the guy that would play Peyton Manning or play Eli Manning in a remake movie.
That's a good point. But, you know, it's funny because Daniel Jeremiah put a he's either going to be Ryan Tannehill or Matt Ryan. So, and I think that's a great comparison. You know, it could go one way. It could go the other way. It's definitely an unbelievably risky pick. And I'll give that up all day long because I didn't think any of these guys were, four quarterbacks went here. I don't think any of them should have gone this high. I think they, you know, if they were in last year's class, I think most of these guys would have gone behind everybody who went. So I'm not the biggest fan of all these guys, but I do like Daniel Jones. And I love the fact that he gets to sit for a year behind Eli Manning. So
it's good for him.
Yeah, it's really good for him. I'm more happy about this pick than Giants fans.
So
I know that
Giants fans were not happy. Not happy.
No, not happy
at all. And kind of made the laughing stock. Joe Budden, who's a known Giants fan, and by the way, a hilarious story that he talked about where Joe Budden purchased in-game tickets, talked about the show for 4 straight podcasts, and then the night of realized that he had purchased tickets in the incorrect state. Can you believe that? That's awesome.
Oh my God, how dumb.
He also had his life ruined when Daniel Jones, there's a great video of him just falling over. But here's a couple of videos we found online. Bogman actually has a great reaction article up over on Patreon if you guys want to check it out. And you put your reactions to every single pick in the first round. And it's a really killer extra piece. So go check it out. But you also put a link to some video reactions. So here, just a couple real quick are reactions from inside the stadium. What is it? What's the stadium? Mets? Is it MetLife? MetLife,
yeah.
Here's a couple of reactions from MetLife where they had a draft party, and there's a ton of people here as the pick was coming up. So here's video number one. That guy is not happy. Here's another video from inside the stadium.
The 2019 NFL Draft. The New York Giants select
Daniel Jones.
Oh, no!
It's like... They're reacting like...
It's reverse Christmas.
They're acting like the scrolls just came down and were attacking New York. Oh, my God! Ah. There's one video you have in here of a kid. Did you ever see the video of the kid that, like, gets his video game turned off or taken away, and he takes a controller and shoves it up his butt?
Yeah.
This kid essentially does the same thing, ripping his shorts into his butt crack because the Giants took Daniel Jones. And I can't play it because there's... the most amount of F-bombs. I'm going to risk playing this one real quick. This is, someone says their roommate is a huge Giants fan, so I might have to bleep something.
I think he just starts crying.
Yeah, that wasn't even a good one. That he just starts crying. That's all he does is he put the blanket over and he just started crying and rolling over. And pretty much every other video I can't do because there's just massive amounts of cussing and Giants fans are infuriated. Let's see this. So this is like the ESPN broadcast one. Yeah, you can't even hear anything of it. It's like the, it's like when the Knicks took Porzingis. That's what it reminds. If people want to know what the look is, it's like when the Knicks took Porzingis. People just they didn't know what to do with. Can you imagine? There was also a great video at the Falcons stadium when the Falcons took whatever offensive lineman they did, and everyone just stood around there, just staring at each other. Can you imagine going to a stadium that hyped up and them completely breaking your heart? I love it.
Yeah, I mean, this is if I had been in a group of people last year when the Steelers took Terrell Edmonds, it would have been the same thing. It would have been like, what?
What would you have done with
yourself?
I would have
just done the silent thing.
You were live streaming with your mouth down to your shoes when they did it disappointed.
Yeah, Dusty, I mean, clearly this year I had the complete opposite reaction of that. But last year, I just my jaw hit the ground, and Dusty went ahead and reposted that in the Groomy Room again, just to remind me. And it's pretty funny now looking back on it, but I was very upset and had way shorter hair. So
yeah,
I understand why people are upset, you know, and this is one of those things where you've talked about this with our local guy Gambadoro, where teams will kind of pitch him something so he talks about it to kind of see what the reaction is with the local market. That's way tougher to do in New York. There's way, way more opinions, and it's not something they did. Every mock had them taking Dwayne Haskins or a defensive player. And I think the biggest shock here was that Josh Allen, who at one point was, you know, a number one overall pick candidate.
Yeah.
Probably a lot of people had him going three or four, fell all the way down to the Giants at number six, and they passed on it.
And
he doesn't even really fit for Jacksonville that well. And Jacksonville was still like, we can't pass this guy. He's too good.
Well, and that's what people were really upset about. And also, and as you mentioned, kind of the biggest one was that everybody was primed for Dwayne Haskins. The feeling was that, by some, I think it was Lewis Reddick was talking up Haskins as like the number one quarterback in this draft. That he's going to be a steal, I think was the word that he used. Just completely going in on Haskins. And everyone was primed for a quarterback, but it wasn't him. By the way, did you hear that Haskins threw a draft party and charged $50 a head?
Bucks.
That is like low, maybe high level petty. Like, I appreciate him doing that. Like
someone said, you always got to have a side hustle.
Yeah, I mean, good for him. Good for him. Ohio State wasn't paying you enough, so get your money, son. You got to do what you got to do.
Did you hear what his lock screen on his phone is? Is a naked picture of his girlfriend.
Is that true?
Yeah, and he's just like holding up his phone, looking at it.
Oh my God! Please tell me that's not true. What, did everybody get the screenshot?
Already,
I'm gonna type it up.
So I don't know. I don't know if anyone got it. I saw it on Instagram or something. It's like swipe up to see. And I'm like, no, thanks. How about that? How about decision making already bad for Dwayne Haskins? So I don't know. Dwayne Haskins is a decent pick, I would say, for the Redskins. They need a quarterback real bad. But I hope for his further development this season, he has to sit behind Case Keenum because he only had 1 year starting at Ohio State. They don't have a bunch of weapons. Maybe they're going to add some more, but they don't have a ton of weapons as it stands this second. So I'm not the biggest Dwayne Haskins guy in a dynasty format. I think he could be good, but he was helped out by a ton of five-star athletes at Ohio State, and he only started the one season.
Probably so better talent at Ohio State than Washington at this point. Yeah. I'm just kidding. They have Darius Geis and Chris Thompson. Kidding. You know what's interesting is Washington fans really didn't want Dwayne Haskins, but I feel like the thought process was because they were going to have to trade up to get him. And they didn't have to do that. He was one of the most projected players on his team, Haskins to Washington, I think, in this entire draft. The only other easy one that everyone nailed might have been Josh Jacobs going to the Oakland Raiders. Everyone called that one by a mile. But I think a lot of people assumed the trade was going to happen, so they got their future quarterback, you know? And Washington's probably a good place for some hot side hustles for Haskins, too, right? Carry around, you know what you can do? You can carry around a first aid kit and charge like $10 a Band-Aid for all the players that keep going down, getting hurt. He's just waiting for Chris Thompson, you know, waiting for Alex Smith.
He's going to live in D.C. He should definitely be, buying up all the parking spots he can and charging exorbitant rates for them.
He should get a deal with Advil, and then he'll just walk around following Chris Thompson and Alex Smith and Josh Doxson and just waiting and just being like, oh, are you injured again? $10 of Tylenol.
Yeah, you know, what he's going to do actually is build a long driveway to his house and then make a toll road on it is what I've heard. So I think that's the best idea for Dwayne.
What's the better destination for a quarterback as far as talent? Is it Haskins with Washington and guys like Geis and no receivers and no other talent? Or is it Daniel Jones with essentially Evan Ingram and, Saquon Barkley and then Evan Ingram? Who's going to have a better chance of succeeding long term with the talent that's built around them?
I think Daniel Jones. I think that, the Giants, a lot of what Daniel Jones is going to have to do is turn around and hand the ball off to Saquon Barkley or throw a dump pass to Saquon Barkley. Like, they've got their playmaker there. That's him. Obviously, they would have been way better off with Odell Beckham. But he's gone now, so that's that. But even with Odell Beckham gone, they still have a better receiving core than the Redskins do. So, I think that whoever is pushed into service sooner could have a negative effect on them. And I think that Haskins has to be the guy that's pushed ahead of Daniel Jones over Eli Manning. Although Eli Manning canceled his Monday morning. He does this Monday morning radio show in New York, and he has canceled it because he's not sure he's going to be the starting quarterback every single week this year.
That's interesting. So, another interesting thing about the first round, Boggs, only six offensive skill position players drafted. One running back, two wideouts. Broke my heart that N'Keal Harry went to the New England Patriots. And then you've got Marquise Brown, who was the first wideout taken to your Baltimore Ravens, Bogman. And then Josh Jacobs to the Raiders. So, I said that incorrectly. There were also two tight ends. You had Noah Fant went to the Denver Broncos at 20.
Of course.
And then you had TJ Hawkinson, who went 8 to the Detroit Lions, which was a pretty popular pick. So here's what we're going to do. When we come back, we'll finish up with the first round. I want to talk about the uncanny, just shocking development that the Pittsburgh Steelers traded up. We'll talk about N'Keal Harry, Marquise Brown, and which one of those are maybe in the best situation for this year's coming fantasy. And then we'll talk about the second and third round. So tons more NFL draft talk coming up here, right here on In This League Live on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Don't you go anywhere.